Today on Life Talk.
On the cross, Jesus defeated sin. In his resurrection, he defeated death. On the cross, he defeated our disease, sin. In his resurrection, he defeated sin's consequence, death.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
There is no greater moment in the history of all the world than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hi, and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we're continuing the Easter series, Mercy Triumphs, with our final Easter message, the resurrection. No one believed Jesus when he repeatedly predicted his own resurrection from the grave. Even his disciples were unclear what he meant, and they didn't believe it once it happened. But Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. And when he did, the world was changed forever. I can't wait to share this final message in our Mercy Triumph Easter series. So grab your Bible and follow along as we explore the resurrection of Jesus.
If you were just to ask me on the street, come up to me on the street and say, Jeff, tell me in a nutshell, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to earth? And I would answer you very simply, and I would say, he came to give you and me eternal life. And his resurrection from the dead was absolutely necessary to bring that about. Jesus had to rise from the dead to bring eternal life to you and to me. Now we're going to see today that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was the final nail in the devil's coffin. It ruined the devil. On the cross, Jesus defeated sin. In his resurrection, he defeated death. On the cross, he defeated our disease, sin. In his resurrection, he defeated sin's consequence, death. So in a three-day period, he destroyed the two great enemies of mankind, sin and death. The resurrection in the Bible is just huge. The Old Testament anticipates his resurrection, and the New Testament points back to and celebrates his resurrection from the dead. If the Bible were a good novel, Jesus would be the main character, believe it or not. Not Moses, not Abraham. Jesus would be the main character. And his death, burial, and resurrection would be the climax of the novel. Because the Old Testament pointed to it, the New Testament looked back on it. The Old Testament anticipated it, the New Testament celebrated it. The Old Testament looked for it and hoped for it, and then in the New Testament received it. Jesus coming to the earth, living a perfect sinless life, dying on the cross for our sins, rising from the dead for our justification. So important is the resurrection that we're celebrating today that if there's no resurrection of Jesus from the dead, there is no Christianity. It's just a belief system. Another religious system, if he didn't get up from the dead. Jesus had to get up from the dead. Paul said, if he did not rise from the dead, then our preaching is empty. I've wasted my whole life. I started preaching when I was 18 years old. I've wasted my whole life if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Paul said, my preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. And the worst part, you're still in your sins. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you're still in your sins if he did not rise from the dead. But then Paul writes and wants to make sure we hear this, but now Christ is risen from the dead. And because of his resurrection, those who believe on him receive eternal life. He came to give us eternal life, everlasting life. The best known Bible verse in the entire Bible is John 3:16. And John 3:16 talks about eternal life. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him would not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. That's out of Jesus' own mouth. He was talking about himself. So there is this option here. We can perish in our sins, or we can have eternal life. God so loved the world, was so in love with you, he didn't withhold his only son, but gave him up for us all that we could experience eternal life. Now, why all this emphasis on eternal life? Why the constant talk about eternal life? Why did Jesus always talk about it? And why did the disciples preach it like a broken record? See, if you could have heard Paul, Peter, James, John, or Jude, or any of the New Testament writers, if you could have heard them preach, you would have never walked away without having heard about eternal life. They talked about the resurrection from the dead. They talked about eternal life over and over again. This was their theme song. This was what they preached. This was the message of Christianity, that if you put your faith in him, you will have eternal life and will not perish in your sin. We can perish or we can have eternal life. Now, why harp on it so much, though? Why is that the message of the New Testament? Why the core? Why is that the crux? You got to go all the way back to the ancient Garden of Eden to get the answer for that. Because we find that there was a first couple, and their name was Adam and Eve, and they really did exist. You say, well, I'm an evolutionist. Even if you're an evolutionist, there had to be a first couple. So allow me my first couple, and the Bible's first couple, it's Adam and Eve. And God gave Adam and Eve a promise, and he gave them a warning. And here's what God said. He said, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. The whole garden is yours, all of it. I'm giving you everything you see, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of that one you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's the first time we hear that word in the Bible, die. If you disobey me, you will die. If you partake of that tree, something's going to happen to you. You're going to undergo a change. You're going to bring upon yourself and the entire human race something that I never intended. You're going to die. And we have to assume that since God told them, if you partake of that tree, you're going to die, that originally they were created to have eternal life, because you can't lose something you don't have. They were created to be eternal beings. Adam and Eve were made to be eternal. They were never going to die. That's the way God made them. It was never God's will, folks, for you to look into a coffin at the dead body of a loved one and cry your eyes out and have your heart broken. That was never God's will. That was not his original plan. That was not in his design. So God was telling them, you've got eternal life unless you partake of that tree. And if you do, then you're going to die and your life's going to be cut short. I don't want that to happen to you. And not only were they going to die physically, but they would die also spiritually. For the Bible says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So not only were they going to die physically, but spiritually they would experience death and not life. Now, it's interesting to me that this issue of dying is what the devil chose to undermine when he first approached Eve to seduce her into sin. He targeted God's promise that they would not die if they remained obedient, and that they would die if they did not. He targeted that word from God. That was the one issue he homed in on and wanted to undermine. His chief point of attack was to tell her she would not die if she ate of the forbidden tree. It says in chapter 3, verse 4 of Genesis, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God's lying to you. God's holding back from you, Eve. He's cheating you. He's robbing you. If you disobey him, you won't die. Come on, you won't die. Now, we could paraphrase that to say, Eve, you won't lose your eternal life. If you disobey God, you're not going to lose your eternal life. That's what he was saying to her. You know the rest of the story. The first couple did disobey God. It says she reached out. She saw that it was good for food. She was pulled towards that tree, drawn towards that tree. She believed the enemy's lie, and she partook of the fruit, and she died. And the Bible says, a couple of chapters later, God makes real sure we notice that death was the consequence Death was the price they paid for disobeying God. Seven times in chapter 5 of Genesis, God punctuates the end of somebody's life with three somber words, and he died. It says Adam lived 930 years, and he died. Holy Spirit put this in here. Holy Spirit inspired the Bible. Holy Spirit wants us to know that Satan lied and mankind died. Look at this. Adam lived 930 years and he died. Seth lived 912 years and he died. Enosh lived 905 years and he died. Canaan lived 840 years and he died. And if you track the Bible, you'll see that man's lifespan grew shorter and shorter until in the Psalms, we hear David talking about getting your 70 or 70 years. The human race immediately went into decline. Spiritually, physically, sin worked its curse and death took over. Paul the Apostle in the New Testament weighs in on this with the same conclusion. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, in Adam, all have died. You, me, all of us. Romans 5:12, through one man, sin entered the world. And death through sin. And thus death spread to all men. I'm going to read it again. Death spread to all men because all have sinned and the stinger of sin is death. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We've all turned aside. We've all gone our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all of us. Death is the number one consequence for sin. Sin has brought death to the entire human race, physical and spiritual. If you don't know Jesus today, you're spiritually dead. And one day your body will die because of sin. Paul illustrates this in 1 Corinthians 15:55 by telling us that sin is like a bumblebee that has a stinger. And sin's stinger is death. Listen to what he writes. The sting of death is sin, so that when we sin, it's got a stinger attached to it, and the stinger brings death, spiritually, physically. Overnight, death became the number one gun in the devil's arsenal against mankind. Not only did man begin to die and spiritually was born dead, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but through death, Satan brought the entire human race into great fear and great bondage. It says in Hebrews 2:15, describes the human race as those who, through fear of death, have been living all their lives as slaves to constant dread. Nobody wants to die. We're afraid of dying. Death is what everybody tries to avoid. Scientists looking today for the fountain of life, the elixir that will help us to never die, but they're never going to find it because there's only one way to eternal life, and it's through faith in Christ Jesus. Death is that distant specter drawing ever closer the older we get. It's the grim reaper that inevitably knocks on everyone's door and nobody avoids it. Death has a 100% success rate.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Give me 10 people, I'll show you 10 people who are going to die. Jesus said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. Reflecting on his father's death, actor Bradley Cooper told a magazine editor, quote, all of a sudden I was like, oh, right, I'm going to die too. Here it is. It's not in a book. It's not in a movie. Is somebody you love dying in front of you? I was like, okay, this is death, and this is going to happen to me one day. Right, Bradley? You're right. Now, here's what Easter is all about. Jesus came to restore what was lost in the garden. Can I say it again? Jesus came to restore what was lost in the garden. And what was lost in the garden? Our relationship with God was lost. And when that was lost, we died. And so we lost our relationship and we lost our eternal life. And Jesus came to restore eternal life and relationship with God. That's why he came. And that's why he talked so much about this issue of death and its opposite, eternal life. I'm going to read it again. Jesus said, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life." Now listen to this. "I will raise him up from the dead at the last day." Now I got to say something here. All these people that go around saying, you can go to a college campus and say, "Tell me what you think about Jesus." "Oh, he was a good teacher. He was a good speaker. He was an inspirational personality. You know, he went tiptoeing through the religious tulips and left a good imprint on the human race. And he's one of many, several great religious, historical leaders." But can I tell you that Jesus' words don't let you come to that conclusion? You can't read what he said and say, "Well, he was just a good teacher." Because listen, he was either a psychopathic lunatic who was extremely deluded. I mean, come on. "He who believes on me will have everlasting life, and I'm going to raise him up out of the grave at the last day." That's not just a good teacher. That's not just a good spiritual leader. That's just not a historical, inspirational leader or personality. That's either a lunatic, heavily deluded, or it is God wrapped in skin. He is God wrapped in skin. He is God wrapped in flesh, speaking to us. When speaking to the two sisters, Mary and Martha, Jesus promised, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even if he dies." What? If I just believe in you, even though I die, I'm coming out of the grave one day to you? Not just a good speaker, not just an inspirational leader, but very God come to earth on a rescue mission to rescue us from sin and its consequences and deliver us from death. "And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." So what Jesus came to do was undo what sin had absolutely done. And that meant defeating death and restoring eternal life to humanity. That's why Jesus came. He came to take the stinger out of the bumblebee of death. This is why everything was riding on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. Everything was riding on whether or not he got up out of that tomb. If Jesus didn't rise, here's what it came down to. All of his words, all of his promises, all of his credibility were gone. You know why? Because Jesus over and over told the crowds that were listening to him and his disciples when they were alone, "I'm going to rise from the dead." Listen to what Jesus said, and tell me he was just a normal, inspirational personality like many others. It says, "From then on, Jesus began to speak plainly to his disciples about going to Jerusalem and what would happen to him there, that he would suffer at the hands of the Jewish leaders, that he would be killed, and that 3 days later, he would be raised to life again." Jesus said that. One chapter later in Matthew 17, it says, "One day while they were still in Galilee, Jesus told them, 'I'm going to be betrayed into the power of those who will kill me. And on the third day afterwards, I will be brought back to life again.'" Plain as day. His enemies heard him say this. His followers heard him say this. The whole world knew that he had said this. Three chapters later, here he goes again. "And they will hand me over to the Roman government, and I will be mocked and crucified, and the third day I will rise to life again. I'm going to be dead, and I'm coming out of the grave." Plain as day, that's what Jesus said. What do you do with that? This isn't Buddha. This isn't Muhammad. This is not some other religious leader talking. This is Jesus. He said, "They're going to kill me, and I'm going to get up again. I'm going to come back from the dead." Lunatic or Lord? Think about it. You can't push Jesus aside and just say, oh, well, I really appreciate everything he left for us. You know, that great teaching, that Sermon on the Mount, love one another and all that warm and fuzzy stuff. No, this is a man who said, I'm going to get up again. I'm going to rise from the dead. You're not going to be able to keep me down. As they say, you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep the Christ down. Now, these predictions were so well known that the Romans took incredible care to guard the tomb, lest somebody come by night and steal his body away and say, well, he rose from the dead. And then they would have to suffer at the hands of what they would have considered a myth. So Pontius Pilate, who also ordered his crucifixion, told the authorities under him, make the tomb secure, sealing the stone, and post a guard. We're not going to have any shenanigans going on around the grave of Jesus. So they sealed the stone with a Roman insignia, and they placed a guard of soldiers. We would better understand guard as squad. A squad or a guard of soldiers was 30 to 50 men. Can you imagine this? 30 to 50 men around a tomb. 30 to 50 men around a tomb. A gigantic boulder was rolled over the tomb. We know that it was huge because the women who went the third day, Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, and a couple of other women, were going to the tomb to anoint him for burial. And they said, who will roll away this giant stone for us? We're not going to be able to get to him. It was a huge boulder. The grave was cut into the side of a mountain of rock. It was made of rock. It had been prepared for a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, who came to believe on Jesus and gave up his own grave, figuring once he believed in Jesus, he wouldn't need it anyway. And they put him in there and they rolled this stone over it. Can you imagine if you could have been there? If I had a time machine, it's the first place I'd go back. Right there, the third morning, with 50 soldiers or so around this tomb, this great big boulder over it, the Roman insignia on it, and they're doing everything they can to keep him in there. But you cannot keep God from doing what God is going to do. You can't do it. And let me tell you think you can run from God, he'll find you. When you arrive, he's already there waiting for you. You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. You can't keep God out. And so the Bible says that because it was ordained of God that Christ would rise from the dead, the only way to describe what happened, because I was thinking, you know, Jeff, you like words. Think of words to describe this. And I decided you can't describe the indescribable. You cannot comprehend the incomprehensible. We can only tell what the Bible tells us happened. The only way to describe what happened is pure miracle. Scientists can't explain it. Philosophers can't understand it. Logic won't solve it. History can't erase it. It happened on that third morning. You know, I've tried to imagine because I've been in that tomb. I crawled in alone when I went to Jerusalem. I let my little party that I was with go ahead of me, and I kind of dropped back and I cheated a little bit, and I crawled into the tomb alone and sat there. And I knew that I pictured a stone being rolled over it, and with a stone rolled over it, you would have had no light at all, none. You could have sat in there for a week and your eyes would not have adjusted. It was total darkness, and in there lay the body, as dead ever was, the body of Jesus taken from the tomb. To be sure that he was dead, they thrust his side through with a sword, and blood and water came running out. They tested him to make sure that he was dead. Pilate was amazed that he was dead so soon. They took the limp, dead body of Jesus down and put it in that tomb, wrapped him in grave clothes, laid him in there, and rolled that stone over. And sometime the third morning, in the pitch black, right before the sun rose, the power of God moved into that tomb, just crept into that tomb, filled that tomb. And the Son of God, who had not breathed in 3 days and three nights, sucked in his first breath in that long. And I believe when he breathed that first breath that hell had a heart attack. I do.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.